Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
This is Gavin McLaughlin with you on News Talk's Taking Stock, and we're joined now by John Isle, Deputy Business Editor of the Irish Independent. John, you're very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
We're speaking in the context of the news that Deutsche Bank is letting go of almost 500 people in Dublin, and you've been doing some interesting work on sort of the nature of jobs in these multinational banks here. Let's begin at the beginning. Why did Deutsche come here in the first place, all the way back in 1991, around the start of the IFSC?
Well, as you say, Gavin, they've been here for about 30 years, and they opened an office, you know, in Dublin at a time when there was very little happening in terms of international financial services in Dublin. Unemployment was high here, but what Ireland had to offer was a kind of a low-cost base with a highly educated workforce, people who could do the kind of back office administrative and transactional services that a major international bank like Deutsche needed. Now, that was expensive to obtain in the big money centers like Frankfurt or London, where, you know, Deutsche was already operating with thousands of workers. But, you know, Dublin had that English-speaking, educated population who could do that, who could do that work for the bank while lowering the cost overall for the bank. So they kind of outsourced these kind of, you know, lower value tasks.
What in particular do you mean, John? That term back office, it gets used a lot. I'm not always sure what it actually means.
Well, very simply, the front office is all the sales stuff. You know, the people who kind of sell the products, the people who do the deals for a bank like Deutsche, you know, they have major investment banking and so forth. And the back office people are the ones who do the administrative work. They make sure that all the numbers add up. They make sure that all the paperwork is compliant with regulations. They make sure that all the customer contact information is correct. Now, all of that is very important to the way banking works, of course, but it doesn't add value to the transactions. In fact, it's a cost for the banks. So they like to do that as cheaply as possible and minimize the number of workers who are doing that. So they try to automate it as much as they can. And where they need a person to do the job, they try to do it where it's low cost. In 1991, Dublin was a low-cost center. That's no longer the case in 2021.
Historically, has that been what most of the jobs are? Because you walk around down there in the IFSC and you see sort of JP Morgan signs and State Street and Citibank, some of the biggest financial institutions in the world. And in my case anyway, John, I kind of dare walk around going, what the hell are they doing in there?
Well, you know, that's how it all started, in fact. And, you know, Dublin developed a well-earned reputation as a place where this back office processing could get done. And then these institutions put down roots there. And what happens then is you'll get a country manager or a local managing director who, for his or her own career, will seek to get more higher value roles for that location. And, you know, you begin to build a kind of a financial ecosystem. So you've seen in Ireland, you have a lot of these big players like State Street or Bank of New York Mellon, which do a lot of the kind of back office servicing for the financial world across the globe. And they have very big operations in the IFSC. Again, that's a lot of, you know, custodial fund administration services and so forth. But what you're seeing more and more, especially over the last decade, is these big institutions are moving into the more front office stuff. So you'll see fund management, the people actually making investment decisions on behalf of investors. So Amundi, which is the largest fund manager in Europe, it's a Paris-based organization, the 10th largest in the world, has a real money management center here in Dublin. It has fund managers, it has investment analysts, you know, that whole ecosystem to do the kind of end-to-end business of managing pensions and investment funds. Now, what Deutsche is in the process of doing is, on a global scale, they're looking to consolidate a lot of the work that was, you know, previously done in Dublin and in a number of centers around the world. They want to consolidate those into fewer places and do it with fewer people. And unfortunately, it means about two-thirds of the workforce here in Dublin is going to be, well, their roles are going to be located to other centers around the world, probably in Eastern Europe or possibly Turkey.
Is this just an internal Deutsche Bank issue, John, or is it something perhaps we should be worried about in terms of other jobs? Because you mentioned a couple of institutions there that focus on this back office stuff here in Dublin.
Well, there's a transformation going on in finance generally, and there's this kind of churn going on all the time where big multinationals are always on the hunt for the lowest cost base of doing these kinds of jobs. But there's a silver lining, which is that Ireland is now seen as a location where more of the high-value front office stuff can be done with credibility. Dublin is now the fifth largest financial center in Europe. So, you know, it's behind Frankfurt, it's behind London, it's behind Amsterdam and Paris, but it's still quite a major center. And a lot of that more value-added work, you know, the people who are, say, doing corporate finance deals or, you know, corporate banking, places like HSBC here in Dublin and Barclays are two places where they have, you know, serious front office operations serving Irish corporates and multinationals in Ireland. Don't forget, Ireland is the headquarters for a lot of big multinationals. They have their European headquarters here. So there's a lot of real banking to be done. The trick is managing that transition from those kind of more plentiful but lower value back office jobs. And when I say lower value, I mean in terms of the bank, not in terms of the people doing them, to those more value added type jobs that are stickier and that can kind of bring a larger, a more valuable ecosystem and create that virtuous circle that can, you know, help develop the economy here. And we've seen that in life sciences, for instance. We've seen it in pharmaceuticals in Ireland, where maybe we did a lot of packaging and, you know, shipping of pharmaceuticals, and now we're beginning to develop drugs and develop treatments in this country. Something similar is happening in finance. The trick is going to be really to manage that in both, you know, its regulatory terms and in terms of the educational throughput through our university system. Will we have the right environment and the infrastructure to support enough of those value-added jobs that as the back office jobs move to other shores, we can continue to have a vibrant financial center here in Dublin?
Yeah, now there's a couple of interesting threads to that, John. But before we get into that a bit more, I suppose we should say that Deutsche itself in this announcement is an example of this transition that you're talking about, because yes, they've said they're getting rid of the guts of 500 jobs, but they've also said they're going to add around 50 in sort of other areas here. So maybe you could just tell us a bit about that and what those people are going to be doing.
Yeah, so what they have said is that, you know, by the end of the summer, they're going to beef up their corporate banking. And, you know, that's to service a lot of the big multinationals that are located here in Ireland. And, you know, when people like Pascal Donoghue or, you know, the Tánaiste Leo Varadkar talk about Ireland's attractions as a multinational location for foreign direct investment, this is the kind of thing they're talking about. Not just that we have people eager to do jobs in multinationals like Facebook or Google, but that we have the related legal and financial servicing infrastructure to make it possible for the likes of Facebook to locate here and hire thousands of people. They know that they have what they need in terms of the services available. The other thing to be said, I think, about Deutsche that is specific to that bank is they've had really a torrid time since the end of the financial crisis. They index kind of badly against other large global banks. You know, their investment banking side hasn't performed that well. They haven't been as profitable probably as their shareholders would like them to be. You know, so the chief executive, a man called Christian Sieving, has been under, you know, pressure to cut costs. And this is really the tail end of a process that began about 2 years ago at Deutsche Bank, you know, where they've been trying to rationalize a lot of the bank, cut the costs back so that they can, you know, achieve higher profitability like many banks are trying to do around the world. And Dublin, unfortunately, in this case, was caught in the crossfire. So I don't think it's exactly a warning sign for the IFSC, but it is a signal of the direction things are moving for the financial sector here in Ireland, especially the multinational financial sector.
Our guest here on News Talk is John Oyle, Deputy Business Editor of the Irish Independent. John, let's talk a little bit about the central bank. You mentioned that there's sort of a whole regulatory backdrop that has to go with these jobs. Just tell us a bit about what the central bank's role is in all of this. How responsible do they have to be for what these companies are doing?
Well, the way it works is, you know, these big banks are regulated by the ECB in the first instance, but the Irish Central Bank is the competent regulatory authority here on the ground, which means they have to look after all of the things that they would have to look after for our domestic banks: capital requirements, that the people running the banks are fit and proper, that they do the right processes, you know, that they tick all the boxes. But there is a concern, you know, I've spoken to some people in the financial services industry. There is a concern that the Irish regulator is developing a reputation internationally for being, let's say, fussy in terms of their regulatory oversight, and also that the kind of capital requirements for banks that locate here, as we know from our own retail banking environment, are higher than they are in some other jurisdictions because of the problems that existed here during the financial crisis. So there's kind of a higher cost already to locating your banking assets in Ireland, right? There's a capital cost to doing so. So there's kind of a higher hurdle that Ireland needs to clear for these banks to locate those kind of higher value services. And there are some concerns that there's maybe a kind of a regulatory impediment. Now, there are people on the other side of that as well who say, well, you know, the regulator was too lax before the crisis, and we've corrected appropriately in the last 10 years.
There does tend to be overcorrection often in these things. I mean, I defer to your judgment on it, but when we have a crisis, oftentimes one's natural reaction is maybe to overcorrect.
Indeed, and if you look at, say, Ulster Bank deciding to pull up sticks here and wind down their operations, and KBC is going to be selling the performing part of their business to Bank of Ireland, those are two international banks with relatively deep roots here in the retail banking sector, who've decided that the cost of doing business in Ireland is too high, and KBC, in particular, according to reporting that I've done, was pretty miffed at their treatment by the regulator over the tracker mortgage scandal. Now, from the customer point of view, people look at KBC and say, well, they behave badly. They deserve to be criticized harshly by KBC. But I think on the KBC side, they felt that there wasn't a very cooperative attitude from the regulator. So, this stuff kind of percolates out. And it's not to say that the regulator should behave in a different way, only that this is part of the ecosystem that everybody is considering when they decide on their investment decisions.
What about Brexit, John? That's been a boon for us, I think, in this area.
Indeed, it has, and there have been some relocations of operations from London, and then also some multinational banks that might have looked at the UK as a location for investment have instead looked here. But there hasn't exactly been that tsunami or that exodus out of the UK. I think a lot of banks have adopted a kind of a wait and see policy. And, there were some initial benefits right after Brexit, where quite a lot of share trading moved over to the Irish exchange, moved over to the Dutch exchange, and that was good for, say, the stockbroking side of the financial services sector. It was just doing more trading on the local exchange and so forth. But according to reporting in the Financial Times over the last week or two, a lot of that trading has migrated back to London now that everybody has kind of seen how things are shaping up. Maybe some equilibrium is being reached. So I'm not sure that there's going to be a huge Brexit dividend. Obviously, there's still quite a bit of negotiating over what the trade system is going to look like post-Brexit. But I think really, it's a dogfight out there for international financial services investment. And we're not just fighting with London, we're fighting with lots of other centers.
So what do we need to do to win?
Well, what we need to do is, keep having that pipeline of valuable potential employees, but also to make sure that the regulatory system is appropriate to the kind of business we want to attract here. And that's really the high value deal making, investment decision, front office sales type of stuff. And, if we can do that, I think there's a very good proposition. The IFSC has a long and rich history and a very good reputation. So there's no panic stations here, Gavin, but we can't take anything for granted either, I think. And maybe this is a little bit of a wake-up call, just to make sure we're not asleep at the wheel when these decisions are being made.
Okay, we leave it there. John Oyle, Deputy Business Editor of the Irish Independent. John, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Taking Stock on Newstalk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.